Welcome to the Radio Detective Story Hour podcast, now in its 8th year. You can leave comments by going to the website at rdsh.otr.com or send me an email to otrpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me a tweet, my Twitter account is @radiodetective, all one word. Welcome back to the Radio Detective Story Hour. I'm not sure if there will be a new podcast 2 weeks from this one, as I'll be away at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention in Maryland and may be unable to prepare a new one. I'll send out notification on Twitter if there is a new one. There are a number of radio series which featured a newspaper reporter as a sort of investigative journalist cum detective. Some were good and others just so. Some featured foreign correspondents and others U.S.-based reporters. There were even stories dramatized from reporters' own real-life experiences of reporting, such as The Big Story. Radio seemed to like reporters who were also detective-like investigators. Even today, we sometimes view war correspondents as adventurous, undaunted, get-the-story-at-all-cost heroes of sorts, despite the real dangers such as we have recently witnessed in the news. On the more bland side, in 1951, CBS Radio West created an audition show about a foreign correspondent for the fictional Trans World News, Hong Kong Bureau of a San Francisco news organization. The audition was called simply O'Hara and featured radio actor Jack Moyles in the eponymous role, whose reports were billed as, quote, the adventures of a freelance foreign correspondent in faraway places of the world, end quote. As this was a single episode, the opening sequence features Hoagie Carmichael's Hong Kong Blues, and it may or may not have been just for the audition. Moyles' voiceover dictating a letter to an editor on why his story might be of interest was probably part of the opening structure intended for future episodes. The episode you will hear at its core isn't a bad one. The pacing is probably too fast to make it a particularly good one. The drama is structured very similarly to NBC's newspaper drama from the same time, Night Beat, though much less darker than its NBC cousin. Moyles is good in the role, as he usually is in other series in which he appeared, including Rocky Jordan and Fort Laramie. Unfortunately, despite his talent, he was one character actor in a sea of many others and never saw the kind of success some of the others did when they moved to television. He has the same grit in his voice that Frank Lovejoy had, which made him good in tough guy and detective cop roles. The audition was created and written by Gilbert Thomas, a former Hollywood agency producer who moved to radio writing first for San Jose, California-based and CBS-affiliated KQW, which eventually was bought outright by CBS, and the call letters then changed to KCBS as a San Francisco-based radio station. By the time of this audition, Thomas had been writing for various West Coast radio programs, including The Whistler, Jeff Regan Investigator, and others. When the audition was created, Moyles had left the Rocky Jordan series, since it had breathed its last, it seemed, in late 1950, though there was a very brief revival 1 year later starring George Raft, which lasted for 1 year. Looking around for something new, Moyles committed to this audition. It was a potential series very much like Rocky Jordan. The story is intriguing to listen to and does have enough going for it to keep one listening for what happens. This type of script relies heavily on monologue to transition the scenes involving more than one character. This was typical of many radio scripts, as I've mentioned in the past, and not my own favorite type of script. It is, however, one of sadness, betrayal, loyalty, and murder. Its relationship to news reporting is incidental. It certainly seemed to be one that had potential, but we will never know. Why it was never picked up is another one of radio's little mysteries. So here is a West Coast radio edition program, O'Hara, starring Jack Moyles in the title role from 1951. One quick side note. Listen to the voice of the character called Morgan. It is portrayed by the actor Ira Grossell, who changed his name and moved to greater heights in the film industry as the actor Jeff Chandler.
Unusual story I've run across in 15 years of reporting. You may think it belongs in the Sunday supplement. I think it deserves the front page. Details follow. Signed, O'Hara. CBS brings you O'Hara, starring Jack Moyles, the adventures of a freelance foreign correspondent in the far places of the world. Tonight, O'Hara cables from Hong Kong a story titled The Judas Face. It was morning in my room at the Hotel Far East, and my back was stiff. All night I'd slept under the slowly revolving blades of the ceiling fan. Now the morning sky outside was burning with a gas-blue flame. Monsoon weather. I was standing, sweating, looking through my single outside window down into Sing Wong, so to shave or put my clothes on, when I saw something interesting below. It was His Majesty's Resident Commissioner of the Constabulary, Sidney I.E.R. Phelps, being pulled by in a rickshaw. Sidney rarely uses a rickshaw, and he didn't glance up at my room window as he usually does. I shaved fast, dressed, and hurried down to his office at 1010 Regimental Road.
You're bleeding.
Bleeding? Where, Sidney?
The lower face.
Oh, must have cut myself shaving. It's bad?
No. Hurrying on so sultry a morning, O'Hara?
Oh, just like you. I saw you pass my room in that rickshaw a few minutes ago.
If Sing Wong Street were wide enough for my car, it wouldn't have been necessary for me...
What brought you that way? Business?
An impertinent question. But since you ask it, allow me to counter with one of my own.
Please do, Sidney. Please do.
O'Hara, of the 2 millions of persons now living in Hong Kong, how many do you think are named Calhoun?
Calhoun? You got me.
There are 3 legitimate families in Hong Kong named Calhoun.
Oh, that's interesting.
And someone, a man, has been annoying these families, Calhoun, with anonymous telephone calls.
What's a man say?
Just, hello, Mrs. Calhoun.
And if a man answers... Hey, wait a minute, Mrs. Calhoun.
I was wondering how long it would take you to recognize the name.
Sure, Mrs. Calhoun, that strange little woman who hangs around the waterfront. I did a feature on her once.
In which you pictured her as something of a nefarious woman wasting her life in Hong Kong.
Oh, is that the way you read it? I didn't think I wrote it that way. How was Mrs. Calhoun this morning?
Why,
Sidney, that's obviously what you were doing in St. Wong Street.
Well, Mrs. Calhoun wasn't home. She evidently hadn't been all night.
Hmm.
Just a moment. Yes? Yes, go ahead. Put him on. O'Hara, one of the calls.
Oh, here?
It was a simple matter to have all Calhoun numbers routed to my desk.
Hold the receiver away from your ear.
Yes. Hello?
Hello. Mrs.
I say, my man, who are you? Hey, Sidney, can you trace it?
We've tried. No use.
Well, okay, I'll be seeing you.
O'Hara, if you plan trying to find Mrs. Calhoun...
I do.
I warn you. I've always considered that woman potentially dangerous.
Sidney, what woman isn't?
I walked to the rickshaw stand, remembering Mrs. Calhoun. She was British, maybe 31. When I'd known her before, she'd made her living circulating among the waterfront dives. She'd wear soft-soled ballet-type slippers, carry a piece of chalk. She'd get some seaman to draw a long line on the saloon floor. Then, poising herself on her toes at one end, she'd turn a forward flip in the air, landing on her feet exactly at the other end of the line. Of course, some joker'd always draw another chalk line, shorter. What was her name? When she'd earned enough drinks, she called herself Mrs. Calhoun. Anyway, I finally managed to talk a coolie Chinese into pulling his rickshaw through the heat. We just started when a skinny man with eyes like vegetable soup jumped in the rickshaw beside me. He was shaking with nerves.
Howard. Mr. Howard.
Look, I'm not Mr. Howard.
No. Howard, I am Howard.
Well, that's great. Now, it's a little crowded, Mr. Howard. There were plenty of rickshaws back at the stand.
No, I've got to say it. Ask you?
Ask me what?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Okay, you don't want to know what?
Where is Mrs. Oh?
What?
Where's Mrs. Calhoun?
What makes you think I'd know where Mrs. Calhoun is?
Then you don't know. You don't know. See, now you can't say I didn't ask. Ask you. See?
Now, wait, Howard,
no,
I want to talk.
No, thank you, Mr. O'Hara.
Mr. Howard disappeared into the sidewalk crowd. Strange little guy. Looked American, but his voice certainly wasn't the one I'd heard on the phone at Phelps' office. Something told me to get to Mrs. Calhoun's on the double. I flashed a pound note, and my rickshaw boy, wearing a water-soaked handkerchief over his shaved head, got the idea. About a mile past my hotel, we came to where Sing Wong Street closes in on itself. The Chinese temples, sagging hotels, and hovels all jammed together, with the street running suddenly out of sight into alleyways. That's where I found Mrs. Calhoun, off an alley. The door opened to let in a little air. She was bending over a pasteboard suitcase.
Oh,
sorry. I didn't mean to make you knock your suitcase off the bed.
Who are you?
I'm O'Hara. Don't you remember?
Get out.
Or at least let me pick up your suitcase.
Don't touch it.
There we are.
You might have broke my bottle I got packed. You might have...
Oh, no. It looks all right.
Well, what do you want with me?
6 weeks ago, I did a newspaper story about you. Remember now?
No, I ain't seen you before.
Sure you have. You remember.
Yeah. Seems lately I ain't got the memory I used to have for faces.
Sure.
Well, why don't you sit down?
All right, thanks.
I ain't got no cup, but if you take a nip from this bottle...
No, thanks. That is, unless you'll join me, Mrs. Calhoun.
Mrs. Calhoun... See, there was a time I'd have had to have a whole bottle because, well, before I called myself that.
Now, listen carefully. In my newspaper story, I mentioned how you sometimes called yourself by that name.
You did what?
A feature story in papers read around the world.
Oh, so that's it, huh?
Now, I think someone's in Hong Kong looking for you.
Well, why do you think I'm packing? Why do you think I've got to get out?
What was the trouble that brought you here?
He's an ugly man, you know.
Ugly?
To them that can't see him for his face.
What do you mean? Who's ugly?
First, I was afraid of his face. Like all the rest.
Tell me about it, huh?
Then I got so I wanted to see that face. Feel it with my fingers.
Yeah.
Then, you know what? He thought I was in love with him.
You weren't?
Sometimes when he talked to me in that voice of his, I'd be looking straight on his face, but not seeing it.
A soft voice, maybe? Low?
Was I 19? Or was it 20? Then everybody began laughing at us. Laugh they did and called me by his name like maybe I was his wife.
Now, Mrs. Calhoun.
All of you laughing. He was born with something he'll never be.
Easy, easy.
No. No, he's come for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me, Mrs. Calhoun, if you love him, why are you afraid?
Come for me. And I look like this.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, when I used your story, I left you some money. You need any more?
Money? Yeah. And maybe if I fixed up a bit, huh?
Sure. Here, take this.
Yeah, I'll just get fixed up. A little something to maybe wear around my neck, huh? I have got a little line there, huh?
And you know where to find Mr. Calhoun?
Yeah. Coming home. Early this morning. I saw the place he stays.
Then you're going to see him?
Just to say hello. Proper. Like a lady.
I guess there were more questions I could have asked her, but there didn't seem to be any point to it now. But going back to my hotel, I realized that I had figured out one thing. Mrs. Calhoun had been with a circus. The tumbling act in the saloons, plus the way she described Calhoun, had set that up in my mind. And the clincher? Well, I knew that a small traveling tent show had moved in on a vacant lot near Hong Kong just 3 days ago. Calhoun would be with that show. But I wanted to keep out of it now. That is, until I reached my hotel room and found my phone ringing. Somehow, I knew who'd be on the other end of that line. I dreaded to pick it up. But I had to. Yes?
Hello. Mrs. Calhoun, you don't know where she is. You don't know.
When I tried to answer, the man hung up. From what he'd said, the nervous little man that had jumped into my rickshaw began to fit into the picture. Sure, and maybe I'd made a mistake about Mrs. Calhoun. I hurried back to her room, but she was gone. Suitcase, everything. There was only one place to check now, the circus. I found the seedy tents on the once vacant lot. The banner read, The Great Armenian Gypsies All-American Show. In a small shed on wheels, I found the huge Armenian himself wearing a soiled Hamburg and a cigar. He was selling tickets. I bought one and asked where I'd find Mr. Calhoun.
Who told you we got Mr. Calhoun, Papi?
Well, haven't you?
Wrong show. We got nobody named Mr. Calhoun.
You sure?
You nice fella. You go away.
How do I see Mr. Calhoun?
I'm not used to being called a liar, Papi.
I'm not used to being called Papi.
Here's your money back. It's clobbering up to a store. You don't want to get caught in a tent in a store.
You the owner of the show? The great Armenian gypsy?
Pure gypsy, Papi. Now go away.
Not till I talk to Calhoun.
Okay, you win. Calhoun is in the caravan car.
Thanks. Which one?
One without windows, right over there.
Thank you.
All right, step right up.
Yeah, this must be it.
Close the door.
Sure, Mr. Calhoun.
Thank you. You know me?
In the dark like this, I have to go by the voice. Sure, I know you.
Yeah. And I you. I take one pace forward and then and feel to the side with your left hand. Feel the chair?
Yeah.
Sit down, please.
You phoned my hotel, Mr. Calhoun. Why? Was it because...
You're O'Hara, newspaper man.
And you read my article on a woman who calls herself Mrs. Calhoun.
Oh, I should have had him search for you the moment we arrived here.
You say him. That couldn't be a nervous little man with funny eyes.
You're so descriptive. A geek. Yeah. My friend.
A geek, huh? But his real name is Howard.
Uh-huh.
A geek. Sideshow feature. Yeah, I saw a poster advertising him out front. He dresses as a wild man from Borneo, and the management throws him a live chicken at each and every performance.
My best friend.
I see.
No. No, you don't see. Living as I must, always surrounded by blank walls. He's my perambulation. My only contact with the outside.
And he's been helping you find Mrs. Calhoun?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I get the feeling he doesn't want to find her.
Oh, he's over-anxious.
And something more, Morgan. I know the girl you call Mrs. Calhoun isn't your wife.
She is my wife.
Not according to her. But this may interest you. I think she's on her way down here now.
Oh, she's coming to me?
Yeah.
Each rose cradles a moon of blood. To seek it, you must destroy the rose.
I've never heard those lines before.
Oh, they're mine. He said she's coming to see me.
That's what she told me.
Well, then you must stand outside and intercept her as I perform my act.
Why?
You haven't yet seen me, O'Hara. I don't want her to become frightened. She may have forgotten.
Look, Calhoun, why don't you turn the light on?
No. Take time to know me, O'Hara.
Okay. But one more question. When you made those calls, why'd you always hang up?
Living alone, my ears have become exceptionally keen to nuance. Each case, when I'd get an answer, I knew by the tone of voice that she wasn't there.
You know, I almost believe you.
You do believe me. Here, O'Hara.
What's this?
British shilling worth a few pennies American.
What for?
In a few moments, I change from a person to an act. That's the price of admission.
I turned and left the darkened caravan wagon. Outside, I saw where the back of the wagon was attached to the sideshow tent. Calhoun had his own private entrance and exit. I looked around for Mrs. Calhoun, but no luck. Then I paid my way into the sideshow. It was filling up with a typically mixed Oriental crowd. One large woman was standing nursing a child in the front row. Then the Armenian gypsy took the stage and made his pitch.
Prepare to witness the most awe-inspiring, terrifying spectacle of the ages. 11 years and 10 days ago, while I was touring the parched desert of the Lebanon, I happened upon the most terrifying, unknown, unopened grave since the world began. I dug, and what did I find? A grave lined with 7 pieces of silver. Yes. Now, I pull the drawstring, and you see the face that suffers even in death. The mummified head of Judas Iscariot.
Someone went into hysterics. The head was thrust up through a hole into the fraudulent velvet box, but it wasn't Morgan Calhoun. It was a woman staring straight at me, motionless, eyes open wide. She was dead. It was Mrs. Calhoun.
CBS is bringing you O'Hara, the adventures of a freelance correspondent in the far places of the world. Tonight, from Hong Kong, a story titled The Judas Face.
A wind was rising out of the west. Fat black clouds were coming in high and slow across the bay from Indochina. But the feeling of dread I'd had hadn't come from the thick weather as I first thought it might. In a roundabout way, Morgan Calhoun's anonymous phone calls had brought back the woman he called his wife, Mrs. Calhoun, only for her to be stabbed to death. In the crowd's confusion, it took me time to get back to Morgan Calhoun's wagon, but Morgan Calhoun was missing. I went through the inside passageway back to the sideshow stage. The body of Mrs. Calhoun was missing, too. I put through a call to Commissioner Phelps. He arrived 10 minutes later, and I told him the whole story, all I knew.
And you say these are Morgan Calhoun's quarters, eh?
Like I said, no windows.
And, of course, no mirrors.
You've talked to the owner, the Armenian gypsy, and Howard?
Yes, they're both pretty broken up about this. Oddly enough, they rather like this man, Calhoun.
He's not so bad.
But careful interrogation has revealed he had logical reasons for finding and killing the woman.
Why, Sidney?
It seems they were rather close some 11 years ago. She ran away and left him.
So he finally found her and killed her because he loved her.
And received, shall we say, his complete revenge by placing her where her head would be publicly displayed, as his had been.
Maybe.
At any rate, my men have scoured the grounds.
Both Morgan and the body of the woman?
Still missing.
Where would they go?
The native quarter, likely. Disappearance is easily managed there. In any event, that's where I intend to search.
Sidney, I don't think Calhoun's guilty.
We shall see, O'Hara. We shall see.
Phelps left to begin his search of the native quarter, but I had other ideas. There were too many places around a tent show where a body could be hidden, and Calhoun would know them all. I went to the office of the gypsy. Empty. But I happened to notice the pictures on the walls, faded photographs of the circus in better days, evidently much better days. And I saw something else. One of the pictures was of a bareback rider leaping from one horse to another. It was pretty clear who she was. I went outside. It was getting dark, and the tents were flapping in the rising wind. I waited, and I saw the geek slip out from behind two wagons and start down the street. I followed. He went some six blocks, then turned in at the office of a marriage broker. The office belonged to a guy named Olin McKean. I waited till Howard came out, then I went in.
O'Hara, my friend.
Hello, Olin.
Aha, you finally find the little girl you like, yes?
I'm not here to get married.
No waiting here. Olin Six license.
That little guy that just left.
He not get married either. Smart fellow like you.
I'm not so smart that way.
Well, Olin McKean arranged snappy divorce, too.
What did the little fellow want?
Oh, I could not preach a confidence, O'Hara.
Okay. Here you are.
Oh, but then he did not swear me to secrecy. He hired me to perform a marriage ceremony tonight.
Marriage?
I'm to be at the carnival with my briefcase at 9 o'clock sharp.
Who are you supposed to marry?
Oh, he would not tell me, but I can fill in official documents after affair.
If you're not too nervous to hold a pen.
Only McKean nervous. Only with women.
Wait until 1 minute after 9. Maybe you'll change your mind.
Hmm?
I went back to the tent show. All the lights were out. I searched among the tents and the small boxes on the wheels that served for living quarters, trying to find the one that belonged to Howard. No luck. Then I heard a metallic rattle and saw a slender figure passing nearby. I stepped quickly over and found, about to take a tray of hot food into a dumpy box on wheels, Howard the Geek.
Castle, I almost dropped.
Listen, is Morgan inside your wagon?
You stay away from them now.
And he's in there, huh, with her?
Please, leave him be.
Before I go in, I want to know one thing. Why did the Armenian's big-time circus go broke?
It was never a big-time circus.
All right, but why did it go broke?
Because she stole all the money and ran away with it.
Mrs. Calhoun? Howard, you know that isn't the truth.
Yes. She was the bareback rider. She stole all the money.
Okay, Howard. Look, I want you to do something.
What?
Go find the gypsy. Bring him here. It's important.
You're going in?
Yeah.
I'll be back. Please. Tell him I'm his best friend.
Who is?
Not Howard Morgan. O'Hara.
O'Hara. The light switch is by the door.
Yeah, I see it.
I turned the light off. I don't feel like giving a performance.
The light stays on. I'm not used to talking to a man's back.
Hey, you want me to turn and face you?
About time we talk face to face.
All right, you were wanting this. All right, I'll turn. Why don't you gasp like my public?
I've been around, Morgan. Maybe too much. I've seen too many people who had nice faces and nothing else.
At least they
had. Howard said the woman was in here. Where is she? Behind this?
No, don't. Don't go behind that curtain.
Look, I know you didn't kill her.
She came back to me. I guess we weren't ever really married before. We will be now.
Morgan, I gotta tell you something, and rather not. 11 years ago, this was a fairly big circus. 11 years ago, she ran away. The circus went broke overnight.
Oh, they say she took the money.
She's been living in Hong Kong in 11 years, broke. Not a dime.
Well, then... And she didn't take the money. She was running away from me.
Morgan, there's something you know, but you won't believe.
What?
A face doesn't make a man.
Yeah, but if she didn't take it, who did?
Delmore, my friend, you're still with us.
Howard, maybe you'd better talk now about what really happened 11 years ago, huh?
Yes. I took the money, Morgan. So she would be blamed and go away. Away from you.
You took the money?
I was lonely, Morgan.
You took my money?
I never spent it, Gypsy. It's under my bed.
Always I thought she did it. I
thought so, Gypsy. Revenge.
You killed her, Gypsy.
It was a mistake. Geeks steal my money. So he goes now.
No, Gypsy. See, I have a gun, too.
Careful, Morgan.
Once all of us, your performers, saved to buy this gun. It took a long time.
You're not a man. You no shoot nothing.
We chose lots to see who would kill you. I took the gun to stop them. I made a mistake.
Morgan, then you go first.
I feel bad.
It's all over, Morgan. Gypsy's dead.
I never killed before.
Morgan, give me your gun.
Howard, you've been hit.
Now, you see, O'Hara, I shoot the Gypsy. O'Hara, you saw the Gypsy wasn't dead. I killed him.
Howard.
Sure, Howard. I saw. And I'll remember. Well, at about 4:30 to my story, I called Commissioner Phelps from the telephone in Morgan's caravan car, told him everything, then went back to my hotel to try and sleep. The next day was cool and clear after the rains. Now, back in Commissioner Phelps' office, I watched him plug in his hot plate to brew his favorite oolong tea.
Tea, old boy?
Yeah, thanks, Sidney. It turned kind of chilly.
Here we are.
Storm's running out.
So it is.
Phelps.
Yes, old boy?
What are you going to do about Morgan Calhoun?
What you mean to say is, who really killed the Gypsy? Morgan Calhoun or Howard?
Well, no matter who did it, I'd call it self-defense.
Possibly. But there's really nothing I can do. Now?
What do you mean?
My men informed me that at precisely 7:10 this morning, a man answering the description of Morgan Calhoun was seen ascending the gangplank of the SS President Grant, obviously en route to the United States.
You mean he was out walking in the daylight?
So I am informed.
Sidney.
And I'm afraid his extradition will be quite impossible.
Yeah, but, Sidney, if the ship left this morning, your men had plenty of time to pick him up.
Well, sometimes, O'Hara, the wheels of justice grind exceeding slow.
But like the mills of the guards, Commissioner, sometimes they grind exceeding fine.
Stars Jack Moyles in the title role, with Byron Kane as Commissioner Phelps. Others in the cast were Ann Stone, Sidney Miller, Fritz Feld, Edgar Berrier, and Ira Gossell. O'Hara is written by Gilbert Thomas and is produced and directed each Sunday night at 8:30 by Tommy Tomlinson and Sterling Tracy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Radio Detective Story Hour. I'll be back next time with another drama of suspense.